Welcome to the Hex Pod, an arcane League of Legends podcast dedicated to review each and every episode every week. My name's Nick.
I'm Michelle.
And today's we're getting hot off the watch of episode three named
The Base Violence Necessary for Change.
Indeed it is. How much violence? According to this episode, quite a bit.
I could have thought there'd been a little bit more violence. But there's quite enough, yes. Mm.
Fucking sicko. Silco.
Well, you know, he may go by both.
More death, more dismemberments. Okay, so
I also want to say, I don't know if you're gonna say, but this show came out into three parts. So this is technically the season, not the season finale, yeah, but the finale of the first part too.
Right. Right. I was going to mention about that. Actually, I was going to mention it, but I forgot. So I'm glad you brought that up. So yeah, right. We're on end of act one, season finale. We'll get into our thoughts here in just momentarily. What I wanted to talk about quickly with you.
Me?
You. I know briefly in the first podcast, we went over the, why we're doing this podcast. There wasn't a lot of them. I found that there was a few out there, but certainly not many. And what do we like to do? When we met, what did we do on a first date? We talked about what?
Movies and shows.
We liked the water cooler talk. And with this show, I was having a problem. None of my friends watched this. And when I would ask them, like, hey, like, we went out for my 40th birthday, and I was asking all my friends that were there, who's seen Arcane? No one did. Did they?
No.
No, not a single one. And when you're not into anime, it's really hard trying to talk people. Like, me and none of my friends are into anime, so trying to talk them into watching it is next to impossible, because they are instantly going to think, oh, anime is fucking stupid. So the only person that watches it is who I ended up talking to and seeing this was my father. And lo and behold, why I was able to talk him into this was because, okay, so you have to envision, Michelle already knows because she's obviously met him, but he is, especially back, this was probably 10 years ago, maybe 8 years ago. My father is very business oriented man. Like, he's career driven engineer, real high up on the ranks. So one day he came over, he found me playing League, and he was like, what is that? I'm like, oh, it's this game. And I kind of explained it to him. Okay. So he watched me play for about 15 minutes, whatever. Then, so fast forward about 2 years later. Did I tell you this story?
I don't think so.
Okay. So fast forward about 2 years later, roughly, I'm going over to his house. I knock on his door. It's like a Saturday morning. And I look through the little window on his door because he didn't answer right away. And what do I see him doing? He's fucking sitting in his boxers playing League of Legends. I'm like, wait, what? Then he answers the door and he runs back to his computer. And like, I'm trying to talk to him. He's like half listening to me.
Roles reversed.
Yeah, doesn't that sound familiar? I'm just thinking, what have I done? Like, it is, okay. And So I told him about the show and he watched it and he's like, yeah, it's really, really fucking good. So that's why we want to make the podcast, all leading back 8 years ago to me showing my dad League of Legends.
Yes.
Yes. Not really, but it's, but it just, I guess it just plays into, like, we really don't have a lot of people to talk to about this personally. So we talk to each other about it.
Yeah. And some people who, you know, listen may not have other people to talk to about it.
Yep.
So
exactly. So, and we were, okay, so I was also telling you at dinner tonight, I went on Reddit. You know, Reddit's a good place to have discussion sometimes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes you get the complete polar opposite of what's called a good discussion. And, you know, there were some pretty interesting takes on Reddit about this show. There was a thread, I don't remember exactly what it was called, but it was something along the lines of like bad takes, good takes or something. And it was a huge thread and people were talking about, like people they know who had like really crazy out of this world takes on this show. And, which is kind of like funny because like most of these people would like, let's say somebody would argue like, yeah, my brother had this take on the show and here's how shitty it was. What he really needed to be thinking about the show was this way. And their way was like, just, I don't, let's just say it was, creative. their line of thinking. I mean, but that's, I guess, the thing of art. But like, okay, let me give you an example. Like I was telling you, somebody was arguing the fact that Milo was secretly in love with Powder. What do you think about that? And there was people actually backing this theory up.
Well, my first thought is, I don't want to say, like, first of all, the children.
Yeah.
So I hate when people do that to, like, children. They put it, like, in adult situations when they're, you know, because what, Powder's probably what, like.
She's got to be like 7 or 8, maybe.
Yeah, 7 or 8. So I'm sorry, but I don't think someone could be a love,
I don't know if they meant like lovey-lovey, girly-lovey, or like lovey as like a little sister. I don't, they didn't really say, but that's what they were. It's the argument was that Milo was secretly in love with Powder. No. And it was, okay.
And I also think that they see each other more as like brothers and sisters.
Well, for two things about that, that one really stuck out to me. Like, what the fuck, man? Okay, art, the great thing about art, you can interpret it however you want. But then it comes to a point where you just start making shit up in your mind, because right, that's not what's happening on the screen. No. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. There's just like a lot of wackadoodle shit. And like what I was telling you at dinner tonight, I think the great thing about this show is that it cuts through, like, okay, there's like a lot of socially cultural issues today that this show completely, it goes around all that shit. It transcends all that shit and talks about shit that affects almost everybody in this country we live in other countries, as far as relationships, mental health issues, geopolitical issues involving crime, economics, like that stuff that affects everybody, no matter race, whatever gender you are, whatever, like that stuff that affects everybody. And it kind of, because the show never actually dives into like women issues in the workforce or some shit, or like women getting beat up by like abusive relationships. Like they don't touch that with a 10-foot pole in the mm-hmm. show, or racial issues at all either. Even sexual orientation issues, they don't even touch it. I mean, they talk about like that comes later, but it goes around, it dodges all that stuff and talks about the stuff that affects mostly people. And I think that's why it resonates with people. What do you think?
Yeah. It's not deep, but I don't know. It's because it's kind of, I don't know, it's in its own little world.
What do you mean?
So I'm saying, you're saying like the kind of like the worlds are like a little parallel.
No. Okay. This show has a lot of different themes and narratives that it's trying to tell. There's a lot of things. The shit that's going on with Powder, the shit that's going on between Vander and the Vander and Piltover, as far as like the politics they have to deal with, the way Piltover looks at Zahn. All the shit, and it gets even deeper into it when some of these characters start coming back, when they're older, when the chime jumps and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking with the Hextech and Jace about, you know, when it comes to power, with Silco, when it comes to power, all this shit that people have to deal with, and when some form or another in the real life, this show tackles these important issues, but it does it in a way without actually touching on cultural issues such as like racism or sexism. It fucking does not talk about any of that shit. And people, that's what I'm saying, is when people on Reddit, when you're reading these bad takes, people are trying to bring that shit into the show, and does not fucking talk about that stuff. Like it doesn't even hint at that shit.
Right.
It's because look at the fucking women in the show. They beat the shit out of the guys in this for the fucking most part.
Right.
So, I mean, it even gets fucking crazier. Like, look at the council. How many, like half the council members are women.
That's what, when you were saying that, I kind of said, well, they kind of have those problems, but they just choose violence.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't when it comes to all that stuff, like it's never about, are you a woman or are you a man? And I'm talking about the show, not in real life, but in the show, sex orientation does not become an issue really at all. I mean, unless you're a female, tell me if you think differently.
No,
I don't think it does.
Well, I think maybe a little bit more down the line, but I think more in like, in the Piltover world little bit more, mm-hmm. with like, female and male roles and stuff like things like that, but just as a little bit, because I mean there's still like a woman, women on the council and whatnot, but in Zahn it's kind of like they're just
fucking everybody for yourself,
right? Exactly.
Yeah. Find your team as far as your partners and your allies and who you can trust and not trust. And I don't think that show touches the things that some people wanted to touch on, and it finds a stuff. This shit resonates with people because it's something you can. There's people in the show everybody can relate to. The situations everybody can relate to. Powder having a fucking mental breakdown, like because she doesn't feel accepted. I mean, we'll talk about all this stuff, but that's a lot of shit that people go through when they're younger and not feeling accepted. When you're 7 and 8 years old, that is a huge deal about feeling accepted. If you're pushed out, that shit can be with you for the rest of your life. But anyway, we'll get to it when we get to it. But what do you think about this episode, by the way? Rewatch.
Well, I say, I've just noticed kind of like the episode goes really fast, which to me makes it very easy to watch. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know what I mean, because there's no drag time. So it's kind of like you're jumping from each scene to scene, and it just keeps you interested. So like it'd be like a, what was it, what, 40-minute episode?
No, it's like, it was like 46, but I think the last 6 minutes were credits, I think.
Yeah, but it seemed like a 15 minutes. But I liked it because it kind of gets into a little bit more about Silco.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit more history of Silco and what he's trying to do here.
Yeah.
And then kind of a little bit more, a bigger turning point for Vi and Powder, too. So.
Yeah, talk more on the mic. You're fading out a little bit. Yeah, it sure is. Clearly at the end. Yeah, this episode, in my opinion, this is why we watch TV. This is everything you want. As far as it gives you motivations by more characters, all the emotional punches land, I mean, literally and figuratively. The character arcs are really starting to come into play now. The train tracks that have been led in the last two episodes start to come into play. This is fantastic. Fantastic episode. And especially on rewatch, it was just as good as the first time we watched it. I mean, obviously we kind of know the twists and turns, but as far as like the action's great. I thought that the fight with V against those guys wearing Vander's Iron Fist was fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's great TV, great episode. Let's get right into it. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm going to let you describe this opening scene a little bit more because it's basically opens out with Silco drowning in water. Man, those fucking, the woman vocalizing, her vocals singing in the background, just was totally awesome. I'm a sucker for that shit.
I liked the opening scene. Like I said, to me, the interpretation was more like Silco with his non-disformed face.
Yeah.
Kind of floating. He's floating in water at first.
Yep.
And he's kind of doing a little bit of monologue about dying and realizing, you know, when death is near that.
Yeah.
None of the other problems matter. But then he kind of starts to talk about, but then a fight comes up within you. And then it starts to show him being held underwater. By a large man.
By a large figure, yep. Figure.
And yeah, so I really like that opening monologue talking about fighting back and...
Yeah, it was good.
Tells us a little bit about Silco and...
Let's see. Kind of his inner works.
Yes.
Yeah, his inner gears moving. So yeah, I thought it was a pretty cool opening. I mean, let's see what... Episode 1 gave you an opening of the girls. Mm-hmm. Episode 2 gave you an opening of Jace. And now this one gives you an opening up of Silco. So, again.
Just a better way to tell the story in a whole, so.
Yeah, I mean, all these openings are fucking been really kick-ass, so. Okay, now Vander, now we move on to Vander finds Vi right before the enforcers are about to bust in on her. He basically just tells her, you need to protect the family. He locks her down into the cellar. Right then, right as he locks her in the cellar, Grayson shows up with the enforcers, with Marcus. And basically, Vander is sacrificing himself to get arrested, to be the face of the... basically, they're enforcing... They need to find the face of to put a person in jail for the explosion that happened up in Piltover. And Vander's basically just sacrificing himself. And Grayson's pretty, she doesn't think it's a good idea. She's like, Evander, if you go to jail, you're going to fall apart. But he basically insists and lets him know Benzo will be the one to take over. And yeah, let's just talk about that. Because after that, things kind of pedal on the metal. So what are your thoughts about this?
Well, I would say Vander, we didn't really see how Vander. Oh, well, I think Vander just gets the idea that that's what Vi is doing. So like kind of the opening that to that scene.
Yeah, he figured it out.
We kind of think the enforcers are going to come in. But Benzo and Vander come in and he locks Vi away.
Yep.
In the basement, I should say.
Yeah, and Grayson knows Vander didn't do it. And I think she knows this is a fucking terrible idea, but I mean, what else? They're getting pressured by the council to do this.
Yeah, and she thinks Zahn will fall apart without Vander.
Yeah, exactly. So. I mean, it will.
Yeah.
I mean, it will. So, I mean, he is the, he is quote unquote the face of Zahn.
Who will run the bar.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
The most important part.
who's going to give that last drop at the last drop? Come on. Yeah, man, it's a fucking terrible idea, but he has to. But I mean, Benzo, he's the only alive for another 45 seconds, but I would assume he probably would have done a good job. I don't know, poor bastard.
I don't really know much about him, so like, other than that, he's a Xander's really good friend. But
yeah, Vander trusted him, so I mean, Should I trust him? But yeah, speaking of that, Vander steps out. They it shows Vi in the basement, kind of. Sitting there, and all of a sudden you see a little ruckus outside, some blood squirting on the window. Look outside, and Grayson's dead. Silco shows up, and then Benzo goes after Silco, but then he gets killed.
Obliterated.
See, this is I'm a relationship. She fucks up a word, and I try to correct her. Now I can't say the fucking word.
We just make up our own words.
Yeah, we just make up our own words, right. So, Benzo gets killed. Silco throws the money at Marcus, basically like, new deal, we're taking Vander.
I think Marcus is in shock because he did not want Grayson to die.
No, hell no, he didn't.
No, so that's why he was, and so now he's kind of realizing maybe this is not the dude to make deals with, but
right,
he's already done it, so...
Yeah, I mean, there's no going back now. They're all dead. So, I mean, fucking up shit creek. But yeah, I mean, I the deal was just to take Vander, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that was it. So, I mean, two people dead. A Decker guy knocks out Vander, drags him away. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Grayson dead. And I mean, that's going to be. They don't really touch too much on it after this, other than she's dead. But I would imagine that's a pretty big deal in the enforcer world, huh?
Yeah. Well, she seems like she's the
leader or whatever.
Lieutenant, is that what they?
The marshal.
I don't know what they have the titles there, but
deputy. I don't know.
Head honcho.
Yeah, head honcho. Yeah. So okay, we're gonna move over to Jason Victor. They're working on the hex stones, the arcane.
They're in Jace's.
I'm trying to read my writing once again, writing really fast.
Obliterated apartment.
Yeah. Oh. Well, okay. Yeah. Victor lets Jace know that the research, actually, that all of Jace's research is about to be destroyed in Heimer's lab, and Victor kind of lets him know. He doesn't want it to. He thinks that he sees what the Hextech potential can be, and he wants to go retrieve it.
Yeah.
Jace
thinks he can make it work, too.
Yeah, he thinks he can make it work. Jace is obviously very hesitant about it, you know, because if Jace gets caught, he's going to be exiled if he gets caught and nothing else happens. I mean, that's probably a pretty big fucking deal. Was he going to go down into the Zahn and live? He ain't going to be able to have no, you know, economic or do any type of schooling down there. So, then we just kind of move on to Echo. Let's Vi out. Let's him know that they took Vander.
He saw Benzo
get killed. So Echo's seen quite a bit to himself, hasn't he?
Yeah. So I don't know because I don't know. They don't really say a lot about Echo, but I'm assuming that Benzo was like a father figure to Echo.
Yeah.
In that, but
Maybe like Echo is like an orphan or something, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too.
Yeah. Benzo seemed like a good guy. Too bad he came
for a what he basically what he owned like a pawn shop though, didn't he?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, because we talked about what if that was a resale shop. It was a resale shop because Benzo said something about, he talked about it like when they met, when he got introduced, he was talking about reselling something like, I'm not gonna be able to resell this shit, or he said something like that. But this is when Silco and Vander now have kind of a little discussion about having respect from Piltover and having respect from Zahn. This is when Silco lets him know they were sharing, like they used to be apparently partners or something, right? And was it that?
He said, I don't know if they meant biologically, but he said like you were my brother.
Yeah, I don't think they were like literally brothers.
They look very different to be brothers.
Yeah. Yeah, because I meant Silco has a mild accent of some type, doesn't he?
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely way different. Well, even Vander has more of an accent.
Yeah, they too. Talk completely differently. So, okay, well, they shared a dream under, let me see if I'm trying to remember right here. They shared a dream, shared a vision. He's called the Nation of Zahn. So apparently they must have talked about actually. Now, this is kind of where they start to bring in the idea of the secession from Piltover, about Zahn becoming its own country.
To me, it seemed like Silco was more of like an anarchist.
A what?
he's anarchist? More, yes. And so he's trying to pull away from them and become his own nation. And to me, this is where like kind of the name of the title kind of comes from, because he's showing that we need to make Piltover scared of us so they don't come down here.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, yeah.
Where I think like Vander's more of like, well, let's work a deal, keep the peace. But Silco's like, no, we need violence. We need to make them scared so they don't mess with us.
Yeah, I don't think he's an anarchist though. I mean, fucking maybe. I mean, he doesn't really get into like the political affiliations. He just says he wants to become a Nation of Zahn. So, I mean, secession from Piltover. Mm-hmm. I mean, breaking away. I mean, he only says like that one line. This becomes more of a thing later on in the show, but for now, I mean, he doesn't really say. I have fucking no idea. I don't. If he does talk about his politics around the whole thing, I don't think they get that far into it, but maybe they do. But now, yeah, at one point, Silco's pretty upset with Vander that he made peace with Piltover, that he kind of had to deal with Grayson and kept the peace. And yeah, it just sounded like Silco just kind of was like hell bent on getting this. I wonder, was Silco a part of the fight that, you know, on the bridge at the opening scene?
That's what I couldn't tell. Cause I mean, obviously they had the flashback at the opening of this scene, but I couldn't really tell if it was just,
is that the same day? Thing.
I don't think so.
It seemed like this situation was before that, like even earlier. Cause like in the flashbacks of him holding him down, he looks really young. Vander did.
Yeah.
So fuck, I don't know either. And Vander just kind of reiterates he doesn't want to fight. Like, he's like, I'm not that man anymore. I'm over it. So, you know, if these were two separate fights, I mean, Vander's seen his fair share of fucking warfare.
And also in this scene, I think Silco, does he talk about that's why his face is disformed, is from the toxins in the river?
Yep. He was like cut underneath the eye or something, it showed. Then the toxins from the river ate away at his eye or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good reason to have a little grudge against somebody. Half your face gets eaten away. I'm sure that was kind of a bummer. So, all right. Now, this is where Jason and Victor try to break into Heimerdinger's office. Mel finds them. Mel kind of says she knows that there is a risk when it comes to making progress. She tells them they have one night. And Mel
covers for them, basically.
Yeah, manipulates a guard. Get him out of there. See a little bit more of that, aren't we?
Yeah, so she kind of, I don't say manipulates the council, but basically saying the council's against it, but I'll give you one night.
Yeah, because she does, well, she does say that she does kind of believe in the arcane magic. She just, she believes in it, but she's not like, I'm not really willing to risk openly my career on this, right. But I do have faith in you too. And I'll give you like 24 hours or whatever it is, yeah. To get this done. So yeah, we're kind of leaving at that and they're able to sneak in. Now we go ahead and we go down to, Klager, Milo fighting over the, fucking Vander's irons.
Oh, they're getting together. I don't know if they're going to say Vi or I don't know. Cause I don't know what they don't know. Everything happened with Vander, but they're getting, materials to fight together.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And then so they show Vander's, iron fist.
Here's, I got dibs. Respect the dibs, man. Respect the dibs. So, yeah, Vi shows up, lets him know that, Benzo's dead, that they took Vander. The kids kind of come to agreement that they're going to rescue Vander. Powder wants to come along. Vi does let her know you are not coming. You're not ready. Powder doesn't really take this all that well, and she's pretty upset. But Vi does give Powder a flare and says, if you ever need me, you hold this flare up and I will be there. Yes. And that's the end of the scene.
And it's mostly she's doing to protect her. She doesn't want Powder to get hurt.
Yeah, you know, Vi's, well, I guess she didn't see all those people die, but she knows
that's
there's a risk. And they're, you know, even her confidence in Powder is pretty low right now, which is crazy because they see fucking Powder shoot those guns, man, at the arcade. But yeah. I mean, then again, she is like 8 years old.
Yeah. So. And I think it's more like, she's just afraid of losing, Vander, and she don't want to lose Powder too, you know?
Yeah.
And she saw what that, whatever Silco had, what they did to Benzo and Grayson. So I might be a little scared for my little sister too.
Yeah, that's true. Don't want her to become a grease spot either. So, all right. Well, this is just a brief scene of Jace. Well, we'll see. What else is there about that scene? Does Milo give, does he give Powder more of a hard time or does he not really say much about it? I don't remember.
Milo?
He didn't really say anything to her, no. Did he? It was mostly just vibes, just telling her that you're not ready. And, you know, Powder feels she's ready. Gun ho. Monkey's a blazing.
Monkey bomb's blazing.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, now next scene, Jace is working on some hex tech arcane gem. This inserts the blue gem, and the blue gem kind of glows. And
yeah. So, but the reason why I kind of thought this scene was a little bit important because the first time it shows, so basically what they're doing is building a machine to actually harness the power of the Hextech stones, because when they're just by themselves, they're basically uncontrolled and obviously can cause explosions of buildings, mm-hmm. You know, from episode one. And so they're trying to harness that power.
Harness the power.
The theme of the day.
Yep. Theme of the day. Harness the power. All right. Now this is when we find Powder having a little temper tantrum.
She's called that too.
Yeah. She's crying. She's throwing her monkey around. You know, she's pretty
screaming, hitting herself.
Yeah. I mean, she's upset. This is when in all seriousness, this is kind of when you start to see the wheels come off, mm-hmm. kind of the machinations of, the problems this girl's having, you know, and it's, you know, it's hard to say, like, it's kind of like, you want to say, like, get a fucking hold of yourself. But then again, at the same time, you know, these kids have been through some shit.
Right.
You know, and I don't know. And, you know, she is only like 7 or 8 years old. And going through this stuff, man, it's got to be rough times.
Yeah, especially in a world where they seem like they're just taught to be tough.
Yeah.
You know, tough it out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, what was it? I wonder, was Vi, when they became orphans, was Vi how old Powder is now? Is that how old she was back then?
Maybe a little bit older.
Yeah.
Maybe around 10.
Yeah, maybe. So, okay. Well, Powder sees the blue gems and kind of, you can tell that she's getting an idea of how to help. She wants to help. I think she even says that she wants to help, right? Oh, I can help or something. Yeah. And she grabs the blue gems. Now, this is where the kids where you do see the kids, the three kids, Klager, Milo, and Vi do get into the room through a window. Not really much else to say because they just jump through the window and get inside the
and they building. Knew where it was. I was just thinking in my head, like, where did they know it was? But they knew where it was because Echo. Because Echo's a little sneaky Echo. Echo said he followed him. So they knew how to get to where Vander was for Echo.
I missed that. All right. Okay. So now this is where Jason and Victor turn on the hex tech. And this is where it begins to work. And this is where is this where the window, the guards can see it outside and starts glowing through the window, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And it really starts to kick into high gear. And I mean, other than that, was there anything else that happened during that part? Just kind of every scene they show them is just kind of keeps elevating in power and stuff.
They're working on it and they're getting better at it.
Yeah, they just continue to work on it. Okay, now this is kind of where the climax of the episode. The kids find Vander. Milo begins to pick the lock. Silco, this was kind of a trap. Silco finds the kids. Vi picks up the Vander's irons. And this is when Powder arrives.
Silco has a gang of goons now.
Yep, has a gang of goons. Thugs. Michelle's.
Michelle's.
It's like when you come after me.
Yep.
Okay. I don't know how far are we going to go into this. I mean, there's a lot of shit that happens. I'll just go all through it and we can talk about what we want. This is when Vi fights, fights all the thugs. And Milo begins, I'm going to repeat myself.
Picking the locks, trying to get him out.
Then Klager starts pounding the wall with the sledgehammer and starts trying to find a way out. Vi just starts beating all these guys up. She puts on the irons and starts beating the hell out of all these people. Silco gives the shimmer to Deckard.
And in that scene, I can kind of get the hint because I was like, you know, why is he doing that? But you can kind of tell that.
Why is who doing what?
What do you call him? I call him Decker, but you said it was
Decker. Well, that's what it said in the subtitles, like Deckard.
Okay, maybe I read it wrong.
Decker works. That's fine. I like this.
Well, first of all, when he's not on the shimmer, he looks like freaking hell.
Yeah,
but he's very eager to take it again.
Yeah, there was no hesitation. He's like, "Here, drink it." Okay,
drink it. Okay, yeah, so right. Must like the feeling. I'm guessing. I'm sure being a big glowing purple monster. Veiny monster.
A little bit
better than being worn out human.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's just stop there because it does switch over to Heimer's room. Mm-hmm. All right. So, I mean, this is like just straight action, basically. I guess when you talk, I mean, it's cool. The Vi fight scene's cool as hell.
Yeah.
I mean, those punches look like they hurt. The way the animation lands, the sound effects, it looks like she's beating some ass. And I think it's fun as hell to watch.
That's the action. That's the action that you want, right?
It's the action I like. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, like we talked about in episode one, this is Milo's little time to shine with his lockpicking. He's pretty nervous, but kind of Vander kind of cheers him on. And it's like, just take a breath. You can do this. And he does. He does start to unlock some of the picks. And this one Powder starts to get in. Decker does actually end up grabbing Vi by the neck. She goes kind of goes down for like a big power punch, and he just grabs her by the neck, throws her. She actually escapes to the room where all the other kids are, and they lock the door. And this is where Deckard starts trying to get in. Now this does switch over to, okay, I guess parallel. Heimer's trying to get into the room with Jason Victor, and as soon as they unlock the door. Jason, Victor do get the arcane to work. The hex tech does this blue shiny thing.
And they're floating all over the room.
They're floating like
Willy Wonka.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So as soon as I thought, I was like Willy Wonka.
As soon as Heimer walked in, what did he say? He's like, underfoot. Or what did he say?
Oh, underfoot. Yeah. For the guards. He's walking past the guards under. Yeah.
By his leg. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of funny. You know, Heimer's still not having it, though. He sees it with his own two eyes. These guys got this shit to work. He
says, you did it, but yeah.
It ain't going to happen. But then Mel walks in, puts kibosh to all that noise, and it's the era of magic. So Mel's on board. Heimer still ain't on board. But it's pretty cool. I mean, they're like you said, floating around like the Willy Wonka style. And, you know, at this point, we really don't know what they're going to do with it. But it does show they can do it.
Yeah.
They can get it to work. So.
Era of Hextech.
Era of magic, according to
Well, she says that, and then Jay says, no, the era of Hextech.
That's right. He does, doesn't he? Yeah. Okay. Now we're back to the kids. We're back to the brawl. Powder.
Yes, and Powder's kind of watching.
Yep.
She's arrived at the location.
She starts to pull out her monkeys. Yeah, she pulls out her little monkey bombs. Now, this is when... Actually, the kids actually do... Milo actually gets Vander out. Klager actually does bust the hole in the wall. But as soon as that happens, Powder launches her little... Hextech bombs into the room and they all explode. All hell breaks loose. Klager gets killed. Milo gets stabbed. Then the roof falls on him. He gets killed. Let's see.
Vi
gets knocked out. A bunch of stuff falls on her. A bunch of stuff falls on Vander. The purple monster guy, Decker, gets blown away. He comes back. I'm trying to think of everyone that gets hurt by this. Marcus sees it in the foreground. He sees the explosion happen. The girl, Silco's right hand.
I call her the tough girl.
Yeah, the tough
girl. She was earlier before she was in she was a patron at the bar.
Yes. Oh, yeah, she was with Vander.
She was kind of talking crap to Vander and then realized when he didn't want to fight.
She turned. Yeah, her and her boys turned. Yep. Well, she dives in to save Silco. Her arm gets lit up. This is when the Decker comes back, opens the door. Vander gets out, fights Deckard, basically beats Deckard up, sort of. They kind of beat each other up pretty bad. Yeah, then Silco stabs Vander. Vander falls. And yeah, Vander drinks the shimmer. Let's go through all that. Where do we want to start? let's think. Like, Milo and Klager getting killed. What do you think?
Yeah, I guess I just wrote that they were under, Milo, he got a pipe basically through his chest, his arm, his chest.
Right through his lung, probably.
It was very fast and emotional scene because I thought it was kind of Vander was kind of basically getting his ass kicked, but, so Vi's watching this. She's stuck under a huge boulder, basically part mm-hmm. of the ceiling. Mm-hmm. And so she's looking and she's seeing Milo and Klager basically.
Not basically. They are dead. Yeah, they are dead.
And she also in that scene, she sees a little part of the monkey bomb.
Yeah.
So she kind of is putting it together and is like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Everything is coming down. But by the same token, she's realizing she's starting to be able to move more things and trying to come to and get out of there.
Yeah, she's just struggling to get out. But yeah, this was, obviously I knew this was happening. But the first time, okay, so we watched this. Like me and Michelle have always talked about, we wish, like there's so many shows and movies, Netflix exclusives, like these fucking shows, they never just go for it. They never just go for the big haymaker. Or if they do, it just feels weird. It feels off. This nails it. Like, this is what I want to see. You know, when we watched this and when this scene happened, when this episode actually aired, like, I always go back and think, some may disagree, some people may agree. But when I watched this, the first thing that came to mind, I wish Star Wars did this. Like, this is the kind of storytelling I want Star Wars to do, and they don't do it. Like, they don't, like, there's this... I mean, this is a whole other topic, but like this is the storytelling I want to see. I want to see people die. Like, I mean, yes. for good reason, not just random fucking deaths for no reason. But like it moves the plot forward. It pushes character motivations in ways you don't see where it's coming, and it all makes sense. It all tracks, and nothing feels off. This was all, this scene. This whole finale of this act was really good. But this is what it's called, going for it and it succeeding.
Yes, that's what I thought too. I was like, I like when shows aren't afraid to kill people.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like you said, it moves people in directions you know, you can't really see. On the other hand, I understand why people don't like it, because I mean, we could have seen more with Milo and Clogger. Kind of felt like we didn't really get much of them, but like I said, it drives impact though.
But they gave enough where it felt where it's like you still cared.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they were kind of interesting. It would have been kind of neat maybe to see a little bit more, but it was enough to make you like, oh shit. Like we're like, damn, yeah, they killed him. And
well, I said, like, even towards the beginning of the episode, I was even more shocked when they, you know, killed Grayson and Benzo. Like basically
Grayson, that one really like threw me out. I was like, wow, I can't believe they did that. And yeah, this whole scene was good. I mean, the whole setup was really, it paid off big time. And and Powder just straight up not realizing what she did. Well, I mean, at this point, you don't realize. She's kind of just falls off the building, doesn't
she? Yeah, she's kind of, it's kind of a artistic scene. She's falling backwards. She's looking at her little stuffed bunny. And there's blue light everywhere, so it's very
artistic.
Yeah, blue. And then so to me it's kind of like, I don't want to get like too deep into it, but like she's kind of realizing, one, she's not sure she's gonna live or die. She's floating off, but I think she feels like she made this big change.
Yeah maybe. Yeah, narratively that might have been the mark they were going for.
Well, you know, now I'm thinking about it, it kind of reminded me of the open scene of Silco when he's floating in the water, because he's floating down backwards in the water. And
that's when he changed?
Yeah, Powder was kind of doing the same thing. She was floating down backwards. Yeah. Okay, sorry. Because, you know, and then we realized.
Like eight wheels turn in your eyes.
The light built up. Because, you know, with Silco and Vander, the betrayal and, yeah. Yep.
Maybe. No. Maybe that's what they're. Yeah.
Gears are turning.
This requires you saying it out loud, huh? Yeah. So, this is when I wrote Hulk Vander comes out, because he is straight up the Hulk. He does, right?
The Hulk. That's what I said too. He looks like the Hulk, but he's purple.
Yeah. He comes out and he basically has to make the decision either to save Vi or kill Silco, and he makes the decision to save Vi. And Vander's last words are, take care of Powder. And that's it.
Well, I was saying, and then part of that scene, though, too, well, because Silco ends up ultimately. When Silco was stabbing Vander, but this is before he took the shimmer, they kind of showed a flashback that is kind of how he got out of the other situation in the beginning.
Right,
that he
was stabbing
Vander to try and, like, his fight to live.
Yeah, we did. So yeah, we kind of breezed past that. But when Silco and Vander obviously, they've done this before.
Yeah.
they did it in the water. Now they're doing it again on the bridge. Like Silco's always like, I knew you still had it in you. But I mean, I guess he just figured Vander still had some fight in him. Mm-hmm. That's what he was talking about, right?
I think so. I'm not 100%.
I mean, he killed him, so I mean, whatever.
Just wasn't using it the way he wanted him to.
Yeah. So, okay. And this is when Vander dies. We lose our daddy Vander. So, Powder, now, Vi escapes, is out outside the building. Powder comes around the corner and doesn't really realize what she's done. And Vi's not happy. Vi kind of tells her, why have you done this? Powder just kind of says, I just wanted to help. Vi slaps Powder, calls her a jinx. They both start crying. Vi runs around the corner. This is when Silco finds Powder crying. And you're not quite sure what's going to happen, because Silco is holding his knife. Basically, Powder just jumps into his arms and, yeah, I mean, that's what she does. She just jumps in his arms, starts hugging him. And embraces her and says, we'll show them all. Marcus actually grabs Vi before Vi can actually help her and drags her away. And that's the end of the episode.
That's the end. So I kind of like that little moment between Silco and Powder. They're the betrayed halves coming together.
Yep. It's a, you know, it's a big moment. It's, I mean, it kind of shows, like, it's really hard to say because, like, if, like, I guess Powder doesn't know what she's done. And Vi, obviously, she doesn't, I don't think she overreacted. I think she handled that about as, I'm not going to say as best as she could, but any reasonable person.
Right. I mean, after her, just losing basically
your dad, your two brothers, more or less, that your sister basically has killed them all. Now, I've also thought about this a lot. If Powder didn't throw the gem bombs down there, the monkey bombs, what would have happened? What do you think would have happened?
Well, in the scene, it kind of looked like they might have got away, but I mean, it would have probably maybe just continued somewhere else. You know what I mean? Like
the fight would have went to the streets.
Yeah. Mm. The streets or another day or another time. But
yeah, the first time we watched it, I thought it was kind of a catch 22 situation where they were going to die because of the purple monster Decker dude. And they died anyways because Powder threw, like, it didn't matter. They're going to die no matter what. The second time we watched it, they kind of allude that they were going to get away.
Yeah.
Like, I realized.
Or in the process.
Yeah, I mean, they were, like, a half a second away from, probably within 3 seconds, they probably would have been out that door, I would assume.
But there's no way Vander would have been able to take that purple Decker, the car.
I mean, he would have had his iron fist, but I don't know how that would have made a difference. Mm. Probably not, huh? I don't know. It's super hard to say, but I think that's good. I mean, there's situations like this, it doesn't have to be a clear answer.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's what makes it good. That doesn't, I mean, we'll never know. So it doesn't matter. I think Vi kind of handled it. I mean, how the hell, she didn't necessarily have to slap herself. Fuck, I don't know. I'm just trying to put myself in her place. What would I have done? I don't know what I would have done, but, you know, she slapped her sister. Yeah, you don't want to do that, but fuck. I mean, the girl literally just killed your dad, right, and two brothers. So, I mean, I don't know. And she just then she walked away. I mean, how the hell was she supposed to know she was going to go to Silco's arms? And
right.
There's no way of knowing that.
And it kind of showed in that thing, in that scene, you know, obviously Powder's being abandoned and Silco's the first one to...
Exactly.
Take those attachment issues.
Yeah, exactly. And this is kind of where it touches. Yeah, you're exactly right. And this is where it touches on something that's, you know, it's important. Like I said at the very beginning of this episode, this is something when people are feeling down at their most vulnerable, you know, you can be drawn to some fucking pretty crazy shit. You know, this people end up in gangs when they don't feel like they have anybody, people that will take them in. You know, people are in shitty relationships. They don't think anybody will take them in. You know, I mean, what's his name? Girls with daddy issues when they go to shitty relationships. You know what I mean? The people, I'm serious. Like they go into these really bad situations and, you know, guys would have mommy issues or whatever, get in these really bad situations. Like, I don't know. There's a million different reasons to be putting yourself in these bad situations. And this girl got abandoned by the one person she didn't think was ever going to abandon her.
Right.
So there we are. Yeah. We're into a jinx of a situation. Ha ha ha. So, what else we got to say? It pans away with, we will show them all.
We'll show them all. Mm-hmm. The one liner ender.
Right. So that's going to be a wrap. All right. So now if anybody's still listening to this 50 minute long podcast so far, I know half of you are from Apple iTunes listen to this because I get a little analytic thing that shows me where you people are listening to this. If you are, you hit that 5-star. Otherwise, Michelle's going to drink that shimmer and come after me. So, I got to pull out my hex tech and, wait, that sounds weird, but okay. All right. So hit that 5-star on Apple iTunes if you could. And you can find us at the arcanepod@gmail.com for emails. Send them in. Yeah. Please send them in. We can further discussion. We can read your, we want to read those emails.
Yeah. I want to be, like I said, the reason why I started doing this is because I want to learn more about it. So mm-hmm. if I said something that doesn't sound right, I want to know.
Exactly. Or I'll tell you. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Yeah. You can find me at Flying the Donut on Instagram. You can find Michelle at
Michelle A O E R T E L.
Michelle A Ortel on Instagram. And until next week, we'll be covering episode 4. Can't wait. Sometime, you know, we've been doing these episodes at no rhyme or reason, just whenever we feel like during the week, but it will be sometime next week. Thank you for listening. Till next week.
Bye.